Hey, this is Kurt Isles. I want to welcome you to the Creek Bank Story and Podcast. We're glad you joined us today. We have a story you're going to enjoy. It's called 6 Feet Deep in Trouble. It's about the time at Dry Creek Cemetery when they dug a grave in the wrong place. And it's a fine story, I'm going to tell you. Before I get into the story, I want to remind you that you can find out anything you want about Creek Bank Stories at our website. That's creekbank.net. And at that website, it has everything about our podcast, YouTube, Facebook. You can find out what you need there. You can also read our blogs. We have over 1,500 blogs going back to 2009 that you can browse through. Now, in Dry Creek, a cemetery, the Dry Creek Cemetery, is a very important part of our community. You're in rural areas, we have a lot of respect for the dead and the way things are done. And Dry Creek Cemetery, which is owned by the entire community, there's a board of directors. And at some point when I was a young man, they asked me to be on the board of directors. And I felt like I really wanted to do it because I thought it was a good ministry and I believed in it. So I became a member of the Dry Creek Cemetery Board of Directors. And I think my favorite thing about it was there were several older men who were on that board and they took me under their wing and they mentored me. Mr. J. Miller was one of them. Now, Mr. J. Miller, his job, it's an important job, was marking graves. He would go down when there's going to be a burial. He would go down, and we had the cemetery off in plots. In other words, grids, I would call them. And we'd go down there for a tape measure and our probe to find the concrete corners. And we'd find exactly where a grave needed to go. Then we'd put a marker down in the cemetery. The funeral home, in this case, today's story, Labby Funeral Home, they give you a metal rod that had their name on the top of it. And what you do where you wanted the head of the grave to be, you drive that pole down. Now, that wasn't where the headstone was going to go. Where you put the rod down was where they were going to dig the hole. We called it the head of the grave. And where you put that rod down, they were going to go across there. It's going to be 6 foot deep, and the grave was going to be right there. 6 foot deep, 7 feet long. That's where they dig a grave. And they do dig them 6 feet deep. Anyway, Mr. J. Miller taught me all how to do that, and I learned so much. I had a map that showed everything was that. Now, our greatest fear was that we would try to bury somebody in what we called an unmarked grave. In other words, a grave where someone had been buried there, but there was no tombstone or headstone in. So we were very careful where we put graves. Now, before I get to 6 feet in trouble, I want to talk to you about what I learned working the cemetery. I learned this. When you stand beside people, when they've lost a loved one, they never forget it. They will always remember you were there. And I learned that many a time. I was at the cemetery as a family picked out their plot, and they're standing around picking the spot where they're going to bury Mama. Very, very emotional. And my job was to be there, listen to them, talk to them, and help them decide that spot. You know what I learned? The less I said was the better. My job was to be there. And I want to say this about the ministry of grief when people are going through sorrow. The main thing they're going to remember is that you showed up. They will remember anybody and everybody showed up. And the less you say, the better. Here's my philosophy. Say, I'm sorry for your loss. I love you. I'm praying for you. And stop. Because anything else you say is usually going to get you in a bind. Here's two of my unfavorite ones. Oh, God just needed another flower in heaven, so he took her home. Folks, no one wants to hear that at this time. You know, just they do not want to hear it. Here's the one I think is worst. Oh, don't worry, you'll get over it. You know what? When you've lost a loved one, you don't want to get over it. And you had no plans to get over it. And you sure don't want someone telling you that. Well, that's the end of my sermon. Let's get to the story. And what happened on this Saturday This was after Mr. J had died, and I was kind of on my own for marking graves. We had two graves on one Saturday. That made me nervous because one was in one part of the cemetery, one was the other, and I thought, I hope they can get everything right. I got the grave markers from Labby Funeral Home, and I went and marked each grave. Now, usually what we do in a country community, we don't open the grave till the day of the burial. That's kind of, just something that's part of the culture. And so I knew that Labby was going to send their grave diggers out to dig those two graves. And so I very carefully marked them. I called Mrs. Labby at the funeral and make sure we had everything right. I even went down there early Saturday morning to make sure the markers were where they're supposed to be. And then I went to work. I was working at Dry Creek Baptist Camp. We were having a deacon's retreat and just having the best time in the world when they called me to the phone. And someone said, I'm afraid they've dug a grave in the wrong spot. It was someone from Labby's funeral home. I said, what do you mean? He says, I'm afraid our men dug a grave in the wrong spot. Now, I got to tell you this. It's about 10:30 a.m. The first funeral starts at 11. The second funeral starts at 2. And I get in my truck, and as fast as I can, I get to the cemetery. When I drive up, I realize the grave that we're having the trouble at is the 11 o'clock service. And by now, the clock is ticking closer to 11. And get this picture. Willie, who is gravedigger, he's sitting on his backhoe. And beside him is Poochie, his helper, who's leaning on a shovel. Now, I immediately look, and the grave is in the wrong spot. It's not where I marked it at. So I said, what in the world? Why did you dig the grave there? They dug the grave where Ora Spears, my first grade teacher, would one day be buried by her husband, Luther. She was still alive, but they dug the grave up against her headstone. I said, man, I marked this thing right. He said, well, I don't know. And we kind of got in an argument about it. He said it was leaning against his headstone. And finally I said, Willie, there's no reason for you and I to argue about it. Isn't it 11 o'clock? And there's a funeral starting in Pitkin. We got to get to work. What made it bad was when they dug the grave in the wrong spot, I bet you can guess where they put the extra red dirt. They put it right over the right spot for a Pentecostal preacher that was going to be buried there after 11 o'clock service. So I called her, and here's what had happened. We had some Mennonite guys were cleaning the cemetery. They were mowing the grass and weed eating. And when they got over there in that area where my orange marker was to weed eat, they pulled it up and put it against the headstone. The only problem was they didn't put it back. So when Willie got there, it was leaning against the headstone for Miss Ora Spears, and he thought that was the right spot. So he had dug that 7-foot-long, 6-foot-long grave, and there it was, and all the dirt had been piled on where the preacher's grave started to be, needed to be. Well, I said, Willie, you get to dig in a hole in this right spot, but first of all, we got to get the dirt back to fill up the wrong hole. So there we went, Willie on his backhoe. I got the two Mennonites to help me, and Poochie. We all got shovels, and we were filling that hole up as fast as we could. And Willie was really getting the dirt, and here's what I love. I looked at Willie. He was sweating. I mean, he was sweating. Every once in a while, he'd look around the corner where the cemetery curve came around, and I know what he's looking for. He's looking for a hearse coming around the corner. And he'd say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And this went on and on till finally we got the wrong hole filled up. Now he had to dig the right hole. By now it's a good bit after 11. He was still antsy. And I went to him. I said, Mr. Willie, relax. I saw an obituary where the funeral is at 11 o'clock at Pitkin. And there's 6 Pentecostal preachers speaking at the funeral. We got plenty of time before they get here. Well, he dug, and finally we hit the hole in the right place, and everything's ready. I go over to check on the other grave, the 2 o'clock service, and it's there. And so when finally, about 1:30, when the funeral party shows up from Pitkin, everything is just as it's supposed to be. The grave's in the right place, and that's where he's buried at. Now, as far as I know, and I may be spilling the beans today, I don't think the family ever knew what happened on that. Now, here's a P.S. to the story. The president of our board, my friend L.D. Spears, he came to me not long after that. He said, "Kurt, I didn't know my Aunt Ora Spears died." I said, "She didn't die." He said, "Well, the grave has red dirt all over it. She died?" I said, "No, sir." And I told him this story that they had dug the grave in her spot and then had to put the dirt back in and then dig the grave in the right spot. That's why I call that story 6 foot deep in trouble. And this is a good story, but I want to remind you again. A lot of people are very uncomfortable with death. None of us like to be around it. A lot of people are uncomfortable being around people who are going through grief. That's not good enough excuse not to reach out. I'm going to say again, all you got to do is just show up. Just be there. And if you do something, keep it simple. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm praying for you. There's a lot of times that I have actually prayed with the people. If it's the right time, situation, I always ask them, say, "Can I just pray for you?" It means the world to people. So I want to encourage you, as we've talked about this fun story today, that you will reach out in ways that you can help people who are grieving. Send them a note, phone call, text them. Most of all, let them know that you're there. Well, as always, we're glad that you've joined us on the Creek Bank, and we'll be back with some good stories sooner or later. And once again, as we always say, we'll keep the screen door unlatched just for you.